B-Pod Studios.
It's rare that I've ever gotten a shout out in a live wrestling event, but my next guest did so, was nice enough to do so, at a chaotic wrestling show at an Elks Lodge in Woburn, Massachusetts. And this is actually the first time I'm going to try to say his last name, because I've always just referred to him as Ilya the Great. Is it Ilya Markopoulos?
Markopoulos? Jimmy, oh geez.
Mark. Oh, there it is.
So it's
Ilya Mark.
Listen, I put the Mark in Markopoulos. It's Markopoulos. Yes, Markopoulos.
Ilya Markopoulos.
Yeah, and like I said, I put the Mark in Markopoulos.
Yes, you do. He is a former chaotic champion. He was trained by Al Snow. He's doing a wrestling show Friday, June 21st in Randolph, Massachusetts. He's participating in a ladder match against some people who I'm not really familiar with. So maybe you could tell me about your ladder match opponents.
Well, first off, good to be here, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
It's about time.
Yes, it is about
time. That I've had you in for a podcast, because we've been talking about doing this for a while now, and it's my fault.
It's a long time coming, but here I am, and it's good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for making the drive in.
So yeah, tomorrow, Friday, is it's me, Slick Wagner Brown, who's a former chaotic legend, actually, believe it or not.
Was he with April Hunter?
Yeah. So yes. So Slick, he was. I mean, we're going back to maybe 97. He's an original Kowalski guy, but not like Triple H's class. So he's right after Triple H's class. He probably had some crossover, but so he's a guy that trained with Kowalski when Kowalski was still active. So Slick's very old school. And what comes with being an old school wrestler is you're going to, you know, be stiffed a few times. And Slick knows that. So
I've probably seen him work at Good Times in Somerville.
So you yes. Slick used to be with
Sheldon Goldberg's company.
Yeah, and he used to wrestle with Trey, the smooth operating OG, was the other guy. And it was with April Hunter. Wow, man. That's bringing back some memories going
there. How about
that? I mean, listen, I'm only 25, but I remember going there and wrestling a few times.
I'm 38 years old, so there's that.
Those shows there were awesome.
Yeah,
and
they
had some great shows. That place was, rest in peace of that place. But yeah, that's where you saw Slick. He was there. And he's, like I said, he's an old chaotic legend. I almost positive he was one of the original chaotic champs, you know, one of the top like first five. So he's been doing it now 20 years, Slick. Then there's Teddy Goods,
who essentially runs wrestling in New Bedford.
Yeah. So Teddy, he's actually over the last couple of years took over Top Rope, like they're booking down there, and he's actually done a really good job.
So I know him. I've seen him.
Yeah. Teddy, and he has a great gimmick. He comes out to Hall & Oates and the crowd loves it. And he's kind of just like this goofy, he's almost himself, which is kind of in wrestling is sometimes not a good thing, but in his case, it's actually a great thing. And you know, being a heel against someone like that is just, and now we're talking about the insides of wrestling. There,
of course, that's why we're here. I mean, it is technically the Inside the Ropes Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah.
Even though.
Right.
Although, actually, I have been inside a wrestling ring.
And so it's funny. You've been inside a wrestling ring, and I had to actually sign up for wrestling school to even. And back then, Handsome Johnny, which is, you know, Ivor in WWE now, he's old school like Kowalski. He wouldn't let you get in the ring unless you knew how to lock up. You know, you weren't even allowed to get in the ring unless you could lock up and put, like, you know, a top wrist lock on somebody. And then once you were able to do that or maybe put a headlock, then they'd be like, okay, get in the ring.
What if you could do amateur stuff? Like, say, for example, there was an 18-year-old who did amateur wrestling in high school. Would you be allowed in a ring then?
Yeah. I mean, those guys, listen, people like, not me. One of my good friends, I'm going to throw him under the bus, Christian Casanova, who's actually in the match tomorrow. He loves it when guys come to Fury School and they, oh, I'm a big amateur wrestler. He'll go in there. Oh, are you?
No. I'm saying, like, say for example, I was like a suck amateur wrestler in high school.
Oh yeah, maybe they'll go in there to show prove a point to you. You know what I mean?
But I can get it in the down position, like you can read about.
There you go. I actually did. I tried amateur wrestling in middle school, and I was so fat I had to do it with high school kids, and I quit.
Oh, I failed at it.
It was awful. I failed at it. Awful.
Yeah, but they needed a heavyweight, and I wasn't up for it, and I failed at it.
I remember I German suplexed somebody once, and that was like the end of that. You know, I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll go do pro wrestling.
Yeah, somebody actually within the last year, somebody threatened me with a baseball bat, and I just went into the and I'm 38, so this is 20 years past.
You cut a promo on him? You're like,
no, I didn't. I like snapped mentally, and I just went for a single leg, and I got his leg locked, right? And he's like, put it down, put it down. I'm like, you're holding a baseball bat, and you're scared because I have your leg.
Jeez, what are you
think
getting,
about that
getting
for
into
a second.
Fights or something now, Jimmy? What's going
no,
on?
No, somebody said the wrong thing, and they picked up a bat, and they were like, oh, I'm going to hit you over there with a bat. And I'm like, no, you're not, and I just single-legged him.
You're like Kurt Angle.
You know, I'm a little
You're like
bit
Mr. Perfect that time on the airplane with Brock Lesnar. You ever hear that story?
And he Except beat him up. I was sober.
Yeah, you weren't on pills.
No, not at all. Well, I'm on some pills now, but that I don't think that that's to help.
Not those
anything.
Kind, yeah.
So at this point, like, so you bring up Chaotic, and you're a former Chaotic champion. Yep. Chaotic is considered your home promotion.
Always has. It's always will be, yeah.
So I'm interested. Like, you're here. Give me some good dirt stories on it. They're not dirt stories. I don't want dirt stories. I want good, interesting stories. You know, people you see in the WWE now, because Chaotic Wrestling, to a degree, has trained a lot of the roster up there. So somebody who's kind of in the news right now is Sasha Banks. I guess, like, I'll ask you for an opinion. Do you think Sasha Banks is going to work for WWE again? And give me a good Sasha Banks Chaotic Wrestling story.
I think she is going to work for WWE again. I think she always will. Because I think at the end of the day, the person who's signing the checks at WWE is, you know, very credible. I know the cons are very wealthy, but listen, as a pro wrestler, I want AEW to succeed. I want everybody, you know, that's in AEW to make money. I want myself to make, I want to get a contract with them too. But the problem is, you got to look at it from the side of investors. It's like that new football league that came out. As soon as these investors were putting their own money in, you know, from their pockets into it, they backed out. The thing with WWE is it's a publicly traded company. So let's be real. They're like Disney. There's no budget in WWE. If something costs $1 million, fine. We're going to pay for it. If that happens in AEW, well, they, guess what? They're going to start releasing people. Stuff like that happens. So I think, and I don't know. You know, I don't know what the truth is, but I think that she'll probably end up staying for that reason, because at the end of the day, there's stability with WWE. They can hire you for 10 years, which I doubt they ever do that, but they give you a 10-year contract and you're not going to...
Wasn't Mark Henry the last 10-year contract?
Yeah, he really was. And, you know, for 10 years, you know WWE's always, if anything, they're going to be bigger in 10 years than they were. And a company like AEW, even TNA, if they hire you for like 4 years, you're kind of saying, I mean, especially.
Well, it feels like to me the WWE contract is, if you're on the main roster, it's 3.
Yeah.
Now it might be 5.
I'm not sure. I know.
And then NXT is like a 3 to 5 year deal.
So I know with the, so it, they have different tiers now. And I know with developmental, like my buddy Oni told me this, you know, Oni Lorcan, he was Biff Busick around here. They'll hire guys for 3 months sometimes, 6 months sometimes, or 12 months for developmental, and then they'll re-sign you as you go. And then, for example, like he just got called up to 205 Live, so they have to release him from his NXT contract, re-sign him to a TV contract, which at that point you're almost giving up your, you know, you're giving up your rights to your name and everything. And your status changes too when you become a TV worker, because you're paying for your hotel, you're paying for your rental, but the only thing you're not paying for is your flight. So, and Oni jokes about it, you know, now he's, you know, traveling, shows up, he's like, hi, my name's Chris, and they give him everything. He's like, in a few months when my new contract, you know, kicks in, I'm going to be, you know, booking everything. I'm going to make sure I'm on top of everything. And it's, I mean, it's got to be stressful, right?
So that's interesting to me, because I had always thought that the office booked your flights, your travel, your hotels, and that's not the case, which I find, and there's no reimbursement there.
And I would assume that it's contract-based. Like, right. Like, you know, a guy like Randy Orton, he's not paying for anything. There's no way.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he had a company credit card, you know what I mean?
So, like, I know that when NXT is up here, they usually have a bus
Yeah, yeah.
They'll bus you from the building to wherever, and then
which is nice. You know, that's kind of how like development baseball is. You know, they do the same thing.
So give me a good Oney Larkin story then.
Oh, geez, I have some. Me and Oney.
And by the way, I haven't forgotten. You owe me a Sasha Banks story too.
Oh yeah, I mean, I got to think. I don't have anything like.
And it's okay if you don't have a funny one. If you have a terrible story, I don't want to hear.
Well,
it.
Well, I'll tell you.
Say pass on that one.
So when she first started, you know, the rumor got out that she was Snoop Dogg's niece, and nobody, you know, at first everyone
didn't
like,
she put that out there?
I would, you know, I really don't know, but. And when I was in high school, I was probably, I just got my license, and me and my buddies heard on like, we heard on like Jammin' or whatever that there was going to be a Snoop Dogg concert in Lowell. So at the time we were like, oh, let's go, whatever. It was probably like $20 tickets then, you know, we went to the door and bought them. And I remember, so me and my buddies are sitting at the, what's the Lowell hockey arena there?
Oh, Songus Arena.
Songus Arena. We're sitting there. It's a packed crowd. You know, Snoop Dogg's playing. And who do I see on the stage? I see Mark Sherman. And I'm like, huh. And I'm friends with Mark Sherman at the time. Like, good friends with him. And he kayfabe.
At the time, this is past tense now.
Well, no, I'm still great friends with him. But he, that guy kayfabe me that night, all right? Listen, he kayfabe me. I had no idea. I look on the right of the stage. I see Sherman and I see Mercedes, Sasha Banks. She was, I mean, she's probably a year in training at that time. And that's when I realized, like, she hasn't been lying this whole time. She's really Snoop Dogg's niece, and she's going to get signed now because of all this. But no, I'm just kidding. But,
well, of course, because yeah. they had Snoop player to the ring in WrestleMania in Dallas.
That's right, actually. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I was in the building there. I thought that was the night that Sasha was going to win, and that was going to be the springboard.
He's always been involved in wrestling, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
Remember he did the album with WWF? Yep. Back in the 90s, the Aggression album.
Yep.
Yeah, he's always been a
lifetime
fan.
Him and, like, there are a lot of celebrities, like him and Mike Tyson. Yeah. And
Method Man's a big one, too.
Yep. Arnold is a big wrestling guy.
Adam Sandler's a big one.
Yep. And it's just, it's people historically have made fun of me for wrestling, but I always go back and
listen,
tell
Jimmy,
them.
Everybody's a you'll be, listen, you know how many work, like,
oh, it never bothered me.
I'll go to work
conferences
and I'll tell people that, yeah, you know, I do wrestling, and they'll be like, oh, I hate that stuff. And then you, like, 10 minutes or at the bar, you know, that same night they go, oh, I loved Hulk Hogan, you know, oh, I loved, you know, and it's like, come on, man, you know, or, you know, the people will deny it. They don't watch wrestling, and then they'll, like, talk about something that happened, like, last week on Raw, and you're like, what? Come on.
So talking about Oney. On 205 Live, him and Mike Bennett, Mike Kanellis, the other night, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they just chopped the ever-loving crap out of
each
other.
I've seen that match so many times locally, and not a bad way. I mean,
no, it's a good thing.
Yeah, those guys have wrestled each other so, and it's so funny. I don't, you know, it's like, at the time, you see these guys wrestling, say, in front of 30 people in the middle of Rhode Island on a, you know, Saturday night in December, and you're just like, yeah, whatever. It's just Mike and Biff going at it. And then you, like, look at it on a grand scale. They're on TV, on national television, and they're doing it, and they're having this masterpiece. And you're thinking to yourself, I've seen this match so many times in my lifetime, and I haven't appreciated it till this moment. And then you think about how, like, you've seen guys like Handsome Johnny, Ivor, him and Tommaso. I've seen those guys go at it so many times at the Lowell PAV when I was a kid, and like just didn't think anything of it. And like now to see it happen on TV, it's like, you know, someone like you is a big fan. You like, that's awesome. And
so Tommaso and Dijak main evented an NXT house show in Lowell.
Yeah,
and the crowd went nuts for it. And it's a match that we've all seen. Because we all know them.
My first opponent after winning the title was Dijak. And at the time, I was like, oh, this is awesome. We're going to have a great match. You know, he was in, was Dijak in Ring of Honor then, right?
He probably was. I think he was. Being underutilized and misbooked.
But, I mean, I've always loved Dijak. He's always been such a good guy to me, too. And, you know, at the time, like, okay, cool. My first match is against Dijak. He's in Ring of Honor. That's awesome. And then now looking at it, it's like, dude, he's killing it on NXT.
Yeah,
you know?
he's hurt now, and he'll be back. But
I think that, and listen, it's weird to say, but sometimes getting hurt or being, you know, taken off for a little bit is good for you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's good for you.
Like, you watched his first real TV match on, and this is just me, the fan, speaking, but, like, he's got that look in the camera and the size, and he just, like, I hate to steal a Tessa Blanchard line, but it's kind of, like, undeniable that he's going to make it and be a star
at some point
on some level.
And like I said, sometimes being away, like, look at the stuff Tommaso's doing with all these videos of him coming back. Like, there's going to be a time where – I remember, and this is the example I'm going to take. When I was a kid and Triple H got hurt, that it was only 9 months, but the lead into him coming back at Madison Square Garden – that's something I'll never, ever forget with the U2, with, you know, It's a Beautiful Day, that whole build-up to him coming back. And that actually made Triple H, like, he was a big star before that. But that, when he came back after being hurt from his quad, that made him, like, next level big.
Well, and you look at the more recent WWE example is Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
She gets knocked out of the match with Ronda Rousey, and now she finds herself in the main event of WrestleMania and winning the main event.
Right.
That, I think it was something that was blessings in disguise for Charlotte.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. It's blessing in disguise.
So would you rather be the main event of Survivor Series or the main event of WrestleMania? And that's the fortune. That's the fortune that, you know, even though there were flaws in the story of getting there, but that's a whole nother. But
that whole Becky Lynch thing's off. Remember I asked you with the Edge thing a couple weeks ago? Like, even me sometimes, I'm like, geez, what's going on with, like?
Yeah. Somebody told me a few when Becky and Ronda were doing their thing on social media before WrestleMania. Somebody told me, like, that might be the social media person. And then somebody else checked in, is like, nope, not the social media person. That is them going back and forth. Because supposedly WWE has control over some people's social
media. I know, like, my buddy Oni, I know he has control over his, but, like, sometimes he'll tweet something and then he'll, like, tell us, yeah, they didn't like it, so I had to delete it, you know?
So I just had this happen recently. So on Raw this past Monday night, I was watching and they had Gallows, Anderson, and AJ Styles on doing the same vignette, promo, backstage scene. And so I tweeted, hey, put AJ, Gallows, and Anderson back together. And AJ retweeted it before the segment was over. When it got to the morning, that tweet was no longer retweeted by AJ Styles.
Huh.
Just something to think about. Yeah. Marinate on that for a second.
Yeah.
So my guess is a talent wanted that out there, or somebody from the WWE social media team wanted that out there, and then it got pulled.
Yeah. Yeah, because
somebody,
it's not like,
didn't want it.
It's not like Tom Brady or LeBron liking something. They don't care, you know. But these guys, I mean, their job sometimes could be on the line, you know,
which
for the wrong
thing.
Which
blows my mind.
I mean, I think WWE now is kind of using social media to their advantage, especially with this 24/7 title. I think they're realizing that it's actually, you know, social media is a wasteland of you know how it is. I mean,
oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. But I embrace it. Yeah, I have fun with it.
Exactly. And I think WWE is kind of realizing, like, we have so many followers on Twitter. And they can almost run their own, like, promotion, like their own show, like Twitter. Like, the 24/7 title is basically just for people who are on Twitter all day. That's literally all it is. And, like, for me, I try to watch wrestling as much as I can, but I've seen more 24/7 stuff going through my phone than I've watched physical wrestling on TV in the last month, just because it's so available for you, you know?
I've had this conversation with a few other wrestlers. And they go, oh, did you see my promo on this show? And I go, no, I missed it. Did you put it on your social media?
Yeah.
And they go, no. I said, put all of your stuff on social media.
Yeah.
Because not everybody watches every minute of the TV, because there's just so much of
it. That's what Fury pushes at Chaotic now a lot, is like when the old owner, Jamie's a great guy, very great guy. He's a businessman. He's made lots of money in not wrestling. But when it comes to wrestling, I think Jamie kind of lost his touch with, like, being a businessman. He was, you know, towards the end, he was kind of more buddy-buddy with everybody, which me, you know, being in Chaotic for so long, I knew Jamie when he was the businessman, the cutthroat guy who ran, like, you know, a cutthroat promotion, which was the way it should have been. Towards the end, Jamie kind of didn't realize that, like, social media, Twitter, like, that was where, you know, places like Beyond, this, you know, Limitless Wrestling in Maine. These places, they took off now because of YouTube and because of Twitter.
Well, you could make an argument that AEW is a thing because the Young Bucks figured out how to use YouTube.
And that's the other thing, too, is like, listen, AEW is a great target for the new wrestling fans or for young wrestling fans or people like, you know, anyone
in
between.
Or people who don't like what they see on Monday and Tuesday nights.
But there's also like a strong amount of wrestling, like kids that probably have no idea it exists, you know?
Oh, totally agree.
Because they just don't have access to Twitter or whatever, you know?
To social media, and they're only what they see on TV.
Yeah.
And that's where WWE just cleans up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why WWE will always be around. It's because they're just going to target kids.
And the whole WWE thing is they target kids. They have enough characters to satisfy the adults to keep them coming back.
Yeah.
They have these insane TV deals. And their business isn't even close to being in trouble.
Oh, like never.
They could lose the Fox deal and they still get $50 million from the Saudi prince and they're good.
They would never. And WWE is it's the same logic of like Disney. Disney gets you when you're a kid. And now that you're older and you have a kid, you're going to show your kid the same exact things you watched and all the new ones. Well, WWE does the same exact thing. They get you when you're a kid. You might go through that phase where you're like, oh, I don't like Cinderella, or, you know, I don't like Beauty and the Beast. You know?
Muppets were always my thing.
Yeah, and then guess what? When you turn, you know, say 13, 14, 15, you're like, oh, I hate the Muppets. Then when you have a kid, you're like, I'm going to show them the Muppets. And the next thing you know, you're at Disney World spending $2,000, you know what I mean?
I think my trip was four, but you know.
Well, listen, you make the big bucks around
here. I wouldn't say that. I'm still trying to get
all mine paid for by Chaotic. But
isn't that in your contract?
I'm trying to get that for my annual pass.
And the thing is that I've talked to Fury about Disney at length.
Oh, yeah.
So it's funny that you guys are all Disney guys.
I mean, like I said, we're talking. I mean, he's texting me now. We're all texting me, Malonis, Vegas. We all text about Disney, you know. It's funny because, like, to have the real people I know who have appreciations for Disney, they're mostly all wrestlers. You know, like, big Ric Fuller, he loves Disney. Scotty Too Hotty loves Disney. You know, and it's because, like, you got to kind of look at them together. Like, Disney and wrestling are kind of the same. Like,
it's all character-driven.
It's all
radio is like that. What we do is character-driven,
too. It is,
too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the fat, balding wrestling nerd, right? So that's my character.
I didn't say anything.
No, I did. I know what I am. I'm a 38-year-old, fat, balding.
It's not too late to sign up to wrestle, you know.
Yeah, you know what? If the right situation came up, I'd be in for that.
I think if you went from now until Cole Fury next year, and we got you up to Fury School, and we trained you,
oh, he'd beat the tar out of me.
No, we would take care of you. We would take care of you.
But so this is the thing, because I've actually had this conversation with somebody else about doing a match. Because I've had this conversation with you a few years about doing a match. Somebody else asked me if I'd be interested in doing a match, and I would have reservations because I don't want to step inside of your forum, your ring, and do something that might insult you or insult somebody.
If you think that way as a wrestler, it's like, stop being a mark for yourself. Like
No, but like I have a certain amount of respect for your craft.
But someone like Fury as the promoter now, and me as, say I'm wrestling you as like a, you know, a celebrity, and Fury's a promoter, Fury's gonna say, I don't give a damn. And I'm going to say, I don't give a damn. As long as you sell us X amount of tickets and you know what I mean? That's basically how it should be. Some guys would be like, oh, you better not, you know, bury me or do this, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man.
So my wrestling repertoire would be single leg takedown, maybe.
That would probably get you only so far.
Right.
Yeah, you know. You'd probably
but
have
I wouldn't
to add,
throw. I wouldn't throw a punch. I wouldn't do any of that stuff.
I could see you throwing. You could do a choke slam.
You're tall enough. I might do the Bundy Avalanche.
Okay, or you know, I could see you.
See, I always think like Bobby Heenan. Like, what Weasley thing could Bobby Heenan do? And that would be.
Yeah, you want to be a manager then? Huh?
Yeah.
I could see you being like Jimmy Hart with the megaphone. You know?
Oh, I would cheat. I would cheat so much.
Yeah. Or, you know,
because the thing is that, because I've thought about this, right? I would cheat so much because I'm 6'4 and I'm about 270. Yeah. And I don't need to cheat, but it would be extra like anger at me for cheating because I'm bigger
what
than...
What would be your thing? Powder, chain?
Oh, everything.
Oh, my...
I would load up my wind pants. I'd put the chain in my wrestling sneakers.
So you'd wear wind pants. Let's paint the image. You'd wear wind pants.
Yep,
what else?
I'd wear wind pants. I'd probably wear a Cactus Jack t-shirt.
Why? But you have your own gimmick. You got to have your own gimmick.
I could wear a Felger and Maz t-shirt.
There you go.
Because I'd probably have to come out to Pearl Jam, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I come out to Pearl Jam. I wear a Felger and Maz t-shirt.
Would you come out with the lyrics or the show version of just the loop?
I would probably come out with the loop.
Okay.
I'd come out to the loop and then wind pants. Although I wear shorts so much, maybe it's the khaki shorts just to, you know, play into it.
Yeah, and they got good pockets.
You know, I could do the polo shirt and just have somebody just rip it right off.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and then my whole body is exposed, which the world doesn't need to see.
That's a distraction method, though.
It could be. It could. I mean, you think Belichick has man boobs? Oh man,
yeah. Yeah.
All right. So give me... Give me a good Tommaso Ciampa story.
Oh, wow. Because
you worked with him. He was a chaotic guy.
So believe it or not, the first day I signed up for wrestling school, literally the day I got there, I signed up with my dad. I was 13 years old. And I could hear, like, you know, Handsome Johnny and Brian Malonis. They were talking like carny, which is a language in wrestling.
And so when you hear people say... kayfabe, or he's working heel.
Well, it gets deeper than that.
So
they were saying, like, you know, Tommaso got, like, you know, kizut would be the word, would be cut, you know, cut. Here he got, people talk in carny in the ring.
Getting juice isn't a carny term?
Getting juice?
Yeah.
No, that's more of like a wrestling term.
Okay.
Like carny, if you were like talking carny in the ring, you'd be like, you know, kizut, like cut, you know, kizut, miazut, mies. I can't even talk it, carny. It's like so stupid and old school that
it's
like.
It's from a 70s movie, isn't
it? It goes back to the carnival age of wrestling when they used to put marks on people's backs and call you a mark. But Handsome Johnny can speak it and Malonis can speak it. And believe it or not, AG, I don't know if you know Anthony Green. He's fluent. He's my age. He's 25. He was a ref, you know, when I started. So he grew up in wrestling like me pretty much, and he can speak it fluently. I can't. I choose not to, which is better that way. But when I started that day, they were speaking carny, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? You know, everyone was kind of being weird too. And this was 2 or 3 days after Aaron Stevens got released, who was another chaotic guy. So
Aaron Stevens, of course, is Damian Sandow in WWE World.
Yep. And it was kind of like a weird night. Like the class was supposed to end at like 9 and we ended up like kind of just, you know, half-assing it. And then it ended at like 8:30 or something. And I got home that night and I read online that Tommaso had got released. And for me at the time, like, you know, I was so young, I had no idea really what that meant. But I knew that. It kind of was an opportunity for us because Tommaso was coming back, and he came back to Chaotic at the time, and he kicked everybody's ass. Like, he was so ahead of everybody. He was so good. He was jacked. He was young, and everybody knew it was just a matter of time. You know, once he, you know, whatever he fixes, whatever they want, and he went to Harley Race's school, and then he came back, and. I mean, I don't really have anything crazy to talk. I mean, I know Tommaso well, too.
He strikes me, and I've had great conversations, interactions with him. I think he's just, like, first-class guy. And he strikes me as somebody, especially with his run to the top of NXT, as old school, I'm protecting who I am, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that.
He's a good dude. He loves Disney, too.
Yeah.
Big Disney fan.
Yep. I found that out. That's really the good stuff.
He's a big Disney fan, and I went to Fleming's once in Providence, and I just checked in on my Facebook, and he shot me a message. Oh, tell him you know me, you'll get a free lava cake. And stuff.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, like,
I might use that.
It's like, oh, I will. You know, I never did, but it's funny. You know, a guy like that.
So you're trained by Al Snow.
Al Snow, and I'd say Chaotic Wrestling.
And Chaotic,
too. Yeah, Chaotic.
Do you have like? Just to kind of wrap up, like, do you have a wrestling philosophy having been trained by Al Snow and the Chaotic Crew?
My philosophy is, it's simple, and I told my buddy Christian this. Christian, and real quick, Christian's going to be, I think, the next guy to come out of New England and get signed. And I'm not saying that because he's one of my best friends.
You can have bias. I respect people with bias. I'm all for it.
But I'm serious. I think he has the look. He's got the attitude, the charisma. He's got to work on his promos. That's the only thing. But he's good. And I told him this 4 years ago when he started. We did a Chaotic show on Halloween, and him and Brick Mastone, who became a big guy at Chaotic, and he actually stopped wrestling for health reasons. But they were dressed as like Bert and Ernie or something dumb, like Elmo or Cookie Monster. It was something dumb that Chaotic. Listen, back in the day when you joined Chaotic, they would give you these stupid gimmicks and just they would test you. You know, it's an old school thing that they would do, and they would test you. And I remember going in there and saying to them, "Listen, you guys might look like doofuses, you might feel like idiots right now, but keep your heads up, do whatever they tell you to do, say yes sir, no problem, anything else you need, and be professional, and it'll go a long way." And they did, and you know, to this day, Christian always tells me that he'll never forget that. So my philosophy is, honestly, like, don't be a mark for yourself, okay? There's so many guys out there that can do all these flips, all these kicks, you know, there's literally everybody can do that. Except for me. No, but so when you're a wrestler, just do what you're asked. If you're, you know, your spot on a show is, you know, they want to bring you in just to do a promo. You know, hey, we want you to do a promo tonight. Don't act like, oh, you know, I should be having a 10-minute main event, blah. You know what I mean? Don't act like that. Yeah, no problem. Anything you need, you know, that's how you should be. Because at the end of the day, whether you were on WWE TV for 5 years or whether you've been an indie wrestler for 12 years, you've said yes to a booking, and you said yes to this promoter. So you're that promoter's employee for the night. So if the promoter wants you to dress up like a monkey and act like a monkey, you better go out there and act like a monkey because you're not going to get paid.
I lied. I have one more thing. You're a huge Patriots fan.
Oh, the biggest.
And give me a general thought on the Patriots, where they are now. What do you think their expectations are for the season? Just give me a general Patriots thought to close.
It's funny because everybody freaked out kind of at the beginning of free agency, but looking back on it, I mean, I think the Pats did okay. I'm excited for Michael Bennett.
Always excited for Michael Bennett. I think he's great.
Yeah.
Of course, we're talking about the defensive line.
Not the wrestler. Who else did they get that I'm excited for? Oh, last year I said they should have got Ben Watson. I think that's 2 years, you know, removed, but it's fine.
I think he's more of a room guy at this point.
Yeah, and I was kind of hoping that this, you know, Safarian Jenkins would be good, but apparently he couldn't make it out of week one. I feel good, though. They lost a couple guys, but
coaches, and Casario doesn't want to be here.
I hate to sound cliche,
opinions. That's not a report. That's opinions.
Yeah. And then now all of a sudden it's a report again. I read that last night from Hurley.
Well, it's interesting. And so I had heard the week after free agency that Bill was on vacation and left everything to Casario. And Casario couldn't close on some deals, and Bill got pissed.
Wouldn't you, though, if you were Bill?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I would, too.
And so Bill had to come in and kind of reset everything. And ever since that point, the relationship has been rocky.
Yeah.
And so now you have this thing that came out, and the timing of it is just poor for the Texans to ask for permission the night after Easterby's hanging out in Kraft's house. And by the way, I'm sure the Patriots have film of it because they tape everything.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Legally or illegally.
But, and I'm sure they knew. You know, they probably were like, yeah, you can talk about it. No problem. And then the next day they're like, yeah, we're going to file tampering against
But ironically enough, like, Bill Belichick broke a contract from the Jets to come here.
Yeah.
So you should let Casario, if he doesn't want to be here, break his contract and go where he wants.
And now they can trade him technically, right?
They can. They're not going to because he's an asset, and I think he's one of Bill's more trusted employees. Maybe he was up until a certain point, where he couldn't do anything on free agency. Yeah. I don't know. That was a story that was told to me. I'm not sure the accuracy of it, but it seems like now that that story makes sense to where we are. And having gossiped with a few other writers not named Ben Volen, there may be some more truth to it.
So what do you think? 2 weeks, he's gone?
No, I bet they make him ride out his contract.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is 1 year, right?
Yep. I think it's up at the end of this year, yeah.
That's going to be an awkward year.
But, I mean, we've had situations before.
What does Gasper say? Winning's a good deodorant?
So Gasper says it that way. It was, he used to do the BC Color. It was Pete Cronin who used to always tell me, winning is the great elixir.
It's true, right?
And if you win, you can look past so many things.
It's true. Look at this year with the winning. We don't think about Malcolm Butler anymore.
Nope. And it was arguably the greatest play in Super Bowl history.
I think about it all day.
It's could have had one more thing. You're wrestling in a ladder match. Yeah. I don't know why you're doing a ladder match. You seem much smarter than that.
Yeah, I don't know either. That blame Caleb. He's the promoter.
But happy that we get to do a podcast together.
Yeah, this is awesome. Listen, I hope this takes off with the indie wrestlers. It's great to be here. I appreciate you inviting me to the beautiful 98.5 Sports Hub Studios. It's a dream come true, as weird as it sounds.
Yeah, so this is going to be the first of hopefully a series this summer where I'm just going to be talking to local wrestlers and, you know, help share their stories and have a conversation and help everybody get to know that there's other things other than what you see on TV on Monday and Tuesday
with
nights.
Such a big superstar like me, though, it's only downhill from here. That's
it
the
is.
Problem.
I'm setting the bar really high. So I appreciate you coming by here.
Thanks,
and
Jimmy.
We'll talk soon.
Yep, thanks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.